Welcome to the Unseminary Podcast.
Are you looking for practical ministry help to drive your ministry further, faster? Have a sinking feeling that your ministry training didn't prepare you for the real world? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in pursuit of stuff that we wish they had taught in seminary. Buckle up and let's get started with this week's Unseminary Podcast.
Well, welcome to the Unseminary Podcast. Thanks so much for tuning in. Happy Thursday to you. Really glad that you've decided to spend some time with us today. Today we have Rich Velotis on the line. Rich is the senior pastor now at New Life Fellowship Church. We had Rich come and speak at our church a year ago, and it just had a real impact on our community. And we continue, actually, just even this last week, we're continuing to wrestle through some of the stuff that he was talking about. And so I'm so glad to have Rich on the podcast today. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, Rich.
Well, why don't you tell us a little bit about your ministry, tell us about the church you're at, just give us a bit of your context.
Yeah, New Life is in Queens, New York City, and it's a church that has been in existence for 26 years. Pete Scazzaro is the senior pastor, founding pastor, and pastored the church for 26 years, and over the last few years, we've gone on a transition process, and so in October of 2013, I became the lead pastor after a four-year process, and so I find myself in that role right now. And New Life is a wonderful church. It's a church with about 1,500 people, with folks from over 75 nations. We're in one of the more diverse areas in the world, in Elmhurst, Queens. The local hospital has about 110 languages that are spoken there. Wow. And so we get the beauty of diversity as well as the complexity of diversity in our community. And so it's an urban environment. It's one of the poorer areas in central Queens. And so we have a real heart for our community and serving the poor and the marginalized and immigrants and all of that there. So, but it's a wonderful, wonderful, beautiful church that I really have a privilege of leading. So, yeah, it's a great place.
Oh, Rich, I really appreciate that. You know, there's a lot we could talk about. I feel like you're one of those ministry leaders that, you know, there's a lot of different pieces we could go down. I think the transition that you and Pete have been through over these last number of years is amazing to see. You know, a lot of churches struggle with that. How do we do the succession thing?
Yep.
I think the diversity that you celebrate at your church, I think a lot of churches, I know our church can learn from that. But particularly today, we want to focus in a little bit on, you know, it feels like the ministry life is just very harried. You know, listening in on this, this podcast, our senior pastors, executive pastors, church leaders from churches across the country, hundreds of them, thousands of them listening in. And everybody that listens to this thing, you know, they're all saying, listen, we don't have enough time. And I want to hear more, about how do you deal with that as a senior leader, at a growing church with a lot of needs. What does that look like for you?
Well, you know, in my time here at New Life and prior to my time here, I meet great leaders that are accomplishing fantastic things for the kingdom of God. And in the process of accomplishing these wonderful things, their souls are weary, they're hairy, they're hurried, they lack a really sustainable pace for the long term. And so one of the things that I've seen is we typically have strategies for how to grow a church, we have a strategy for how to reach more people, but we don't have an intentional, comprehensive strategy of what does it mean to build a sustainable inner life that can withstand the pressures of leadership. And so from my context and our context at New Life, one of the things that we have wrestled with deeply has been, what does it look like to create a sustainable, comprehensive, holistic framework to follow Jesus, to have a life that's anchored in his love, out of which we live and we lead in our respective areas. And so the word that we use, or the tool that we use, is called the rule of life. And the rule of life has been an incredibly helpful mechanism, not just for our leaders, but for our church as a whole. We've led rule of life courses and classes to really give people a comprehensive approach. And so I can talk about that some more, but that's the thrust that has been able to really sustain me and our church and many leaders as we have led in our unique context in Queens here.
Yeah, I was just at a retreat earlier this year, right at the beginning of this year, with Ruth Haley Barton. And she's a fantastic writer and speaker and you know, spiritual director. And one of the things that she said that really resonated with me is that so many leaders or people in general are dangerously tired, you know, that we're at this place where we just have run to the end. And so I'd love for you to pull apart, you know, give us some kind of practical handles. When you say rule of life, what does that mean?
Yeah. And to piggyback off of just, I love Ruth Haley Barton's material, and I love her definition first of spiritual formation, which is spiritual formation is the process of being conformed to the image of Christ for the glory of God, for the abundance of ourselves, and for the sake of others. And those really, that's the paradigm out of which we see spiritual formation. It's the glory of God, it's the abundance of our own lives, and it's for the sake of others. And so a rule of life, typically when we hear the word rule in our culture, it's a pejorative term, it's a term that we don't like, it's about limits, about regulations, about what I can't do. But that's not what we mean when we talk about a rule. The rule really comes from the Greek word, which is a trellis. And a trellis is, you know, it's a framework to help like a grapevine to grow upward and to grow outward. And so it's a structure, it's a framework. And really, it's a great image and illustration for the spiritual life, in that we need a framework to bear fruit upward towards God and outward towards others. And so that's what the rule means. It's essentially a trellis. It's a framework. I love what Ken Shigematsu also said. He's written a fantastic book called God in My Everything, which is really a book on the rule of life. And Ken is a friend of New Life. And he said that a rule is it's a rhythm of practices that empowers us to live well and to grow more like Jesus by helping us to experience God in everything. And so at the core, the rule of life is not about compartmentalization. It's not about my spiritual life is over here, but my home life is over there, and my work life is over here. The rule of life is essentially this: how can every aspect of my life come under the leadership and lordship of Jesus? And how can we be intentional about that? And so for me, the rule is not just my spiritual life, so to speak. It's every aspect of my life being intentionally oriented towards God. And so very practically what that looks like for me, and I was really surprised this early this year, I put out on Facebook and on Instagram and on Twitter what my revised rule was for 2014. And I was really blown away by how many pastor friends of mine emailed me and started texting me and saying, how can I get my hand on that? Right. I want to do that. Because we typically, in the beginning of the year, we have a lot of resolutions. That's not what a rule is. A rule is not a list of resolutions. A rule is, how can I build a sustainable framework to really submit everything under Jesus, his leadership and his lordship? And so my rule is basically broken up into four specific areas. It's prayer, it's rest, it's relationships, it's work. And really every aspect of my rule is geared towards how can I bring this under the leadership of Jesus. And so, for example, the prayer component of it is really, how am I anchoring my life in contemplative practices of prayer, of silence, mm-hmm. of solitude, of a particular way of reading scripture, not just for information, but for transformation, Lectio Divina. And so I really craft that quadrant, if you will, if you look at it in four different boxes, that quadrant is about anchoring my life in prayer. And that's my intentional rule. And for me, my rule is, parts of it are, I need silence in my life. I need solitude in my life. I need to pause typically 2 to 3 times a day, whether it's for 5 minutes or whether it's for 20 minutes, to be with God, because I know that the pressures and the pull of leadership can just get me decentered very quickly. And I have many stories of being decentered very quickly. And so I need to come back to God on a regular basis throughout the course of the day. And sometimes I get it right, sometimes I don't. But that's how my heart is oriented towards you know, being anchored in God. Then you have the rest component of it, so that's prayer. The rest component is really, what am I doing for my own sense of self-care? How am I creating a rhythm in place so that I'm replenished? And so we're talking about recreation. We're talking about, for me, sports. We're talking about intentional, well-planned vacations with my wife, Rosie. We're looking at all of those components of what does rest mean. A Sabbath, you know, I take a weekly Sabbath from Friday night at 6 p.m. to Saturday night at 6 p.m. where I do nothing but stopping, resting, delighting, and contemplating. It's not a time for work, it's a time for recreation and restoration. And so that's the rest quadrant, if you will. The relationships quadrant is really, how do I leave my family, and how do I take care of and be intentional about my marriage and about parenting my 4-year-old daughter, Karis. And so from date nights to being intentional about how we are growing in our marriage, and all of that there, I think that's the relationships quadrant. You know, being a part of a small group and meeting with friends, that's coming under the lordship of Jesus. And then the work component of it is just, what do I do as a lead pastor in my role? What do I do in terms of unpaid work in my home? But the goal of the rule of life is not compartmentalization. The goal of the rule of life is to see that God is interested in every aspect and component of our life. How are we now being intentional about particular practices that orient our hearts towards that end? And so that's the rule, essentially, in a nutshell.
Now, how does that, you know, just to push into it a bit on the practical side, so you obviously take some time out to, you know, to really craft and to be intentional in those four areas, which is obviously super critical. And then how often do you come back and review that? Is this the kind of thing where you have this written out and it's on a board somewhere? Or how are you reminding yourself, kind of recentering yourself on those, on the rule?
Yeah, well, when I start the rule, I typically need a couple of hours of just time before God. And the first thing I want to pay attention to is, what gives me joy? What gives me life? Right. You know, what are the areas of my life that replenish me and refresh me? And those four quadrants. And I jot some ideas down. And whatever season that I'm in, there's some adjustments that take place in that. But I want to figure out, where is there life? And towards that end, I jot some things down. Now, in terms of coming back to it, when I'm doing it really well, I'm coming back to it a couple of times a month, usually on my Sabbath, typically, where you know, I just look at it. I have it on my refrigerator door, you know, on the fridge, and so I'm able to look at it on a regular basis, and I'm able to go, as you know, as I'm going in to get some Haagen-Dazs ice cream, you know, I'm just like, oh man, I haven't been practicing silence recently, you know, and so let me practice the silence with some ice cream, you know, and so I keep it before me. You know, visibly, you know, on, you know, the kitchen, on my laptop. And so it's something that I try to come back to at least monthly to come back to, just to see, you know, Lord, where is there an area on my rule that you want me to pay closer attention to in this season over the next month? And so, so that's typically how I go about keeping it before me. It's very easy to put it on a document and file it away and say, that was fun. And not do anything about it, you know. That was great, you know. But this is about, you know, building an ongoing rhythm throughout the course of the year.
You know, I appreciate that so much. I think a part of what I think there can be a danger even in writing out a document like that, because it gives us almost like an emotional release, like as if we did anything, right?
Yeah. It's like
I wrote that I should take a Sabbath every week. And so then I feel better, because it's like, that's my intention.
but then you got to actually
live it out, you know, for sure. Oh, this has been a great kind of introduction. Obviously, there's a huge amount of conversation we could have, you know, on this area. Is there anything else that you'd like to kind of reinforce for the leaders listening in today?
Well, you know, specifically with the rule, which I think it's my prayer is that folks would really begin to wrestle with this. The rule is not a list of to-dos. You know, so I have under every quadrant, I have a bunch of things. It's not like, okay, did I get everything done this week? That can easily morph into a legalism. It can easily morph into, you know, just, okay, I did that, but the quality of us doing it is not taken into consideration. It's just another thing off my to-do list. That's not the goal of it. The goal is ultimately to view every aspect of our lives as under the leadership of Jesus. And really, it's discerning, Lord, in this season of my life, what are you asking me to pay closer attention to? And so it might be that there are many things on my rule that are not getting done. That's not the goal necessarily.
Right.
The goal is, what are the one or two, three things in this season of my life that you're calling me to engage in. And right. So it can be very depressing if you put the whole rule up and you realize, oh man, I'm only doing 2 out of these 20 things.
Right.
I suck as a leader now. I'm what kind of follower of Jesus I am, right? That's not the goal of it. The goal is really figuring out in this season of my life, what is God calling me to pay attention to?
This is the Unseminary Podcast, stuff you wish they taught in seminary.
All right, well, here we are. We're going to jump into the lightning round, which does feel a bit ironic since we're talking about slowing down, taking Sabbath, finding pace in your life. I'm just calling that out, just calling out the irony.
There we go.
So, Rich, what's an online resource that you're using these days that you find particularly helpful?
An online resource? That's a great question. Let me think. If you want to go back to this, Rich, I got to think about that for a second.
Sure, yeah, that's totally fine. How about a book? Are you reading a book that that's read in the last 6 months that's maybe had an impact on your ministry?
Yeah. There are a couple of books. I mean, reading is part of my rule, and so reading broadly. But two books in particular that come to mind in light of this conversation. One is, I quote it from Ken Shigematsu's book, God in My Everything. That really is a fresh take on the rule of life that's really helped me. But Brené Brown's book on Daring Greatly, on shame, has been really insightful as well. And it's amazing how shame cripples and stunts our growth. And so that's been really a good book to help me grow in my own identifying my own shame and how Christ has set me free from that. And so those two books come to mind immediately.
Very cool. What's another ministry that you're particularly inspiring you these days?
Yeah, InterVarsity Christian Fellowship is a ministry that really inspires me. There's a bunch of folks who are on staff at InterVarsity that come to New Life, a bunch of students that have had their lives impacted by InterVarsity. And I love their passion for the campus. I love the passion to create world changers. I love their passion on reconciliation across ethnic, socioeconomic lines. Their love for scripture, and so they're an organization that really embodies a lot of the values that I hold dear. And to be close to the folks that play a significant role with InterVarsity, I'm really inspired by their work. Social justice, I mean, that's an organization that I absolutely love.
That's very cool. So if there's a leader, any leader in the world that's alive today that you could get 15 minutes with, who would that be and why?
Well, I don't want to give probably the cliche answer because he's the Time, magazine person of the year. But, I'm really intrigued by the new Pope. And
it's true.
I'm intrigued by him because I think he is embodying a way of life that is it's so countercultural. And I saw the picture of him embracing this man with tumors all over his body, and something just said, that's something Jesus would do.
Right.
And I think there's such a paradigm shift that he's leading. He's bringing the Catholic Church in. That it's a big shift. And so from a leadership perspective, from a discipleship perspective, from a public perspective, I just see him as quite an interesting figure, a person if I could get 15 minutes with, I'd love that. So try to set that up, Rich, if you can.
Yeah, I'll see if we can work on that. It's true. I've been really impressed from afar, with Pope Francis, for sure. The story I love in his early days, and I think that's true. It might be myth, but in his early days of his papacy, he was, he isn't living in the main residence. He's living in a side cottage by day.
Right.
Because he was trying to push back on some of that. And he was also riding public transit around Rome.
Right.
He denied, I don't need the car service. I don't need all that stuff. And eventually, his inner circle was like, okay, so, yeah, we'll get a simpler car, but we really can't have you riding public transit. Which is great, right? I'm like, just fantastic. That's great. All right, so what do you do for fun, maybe on your Sabbath, or maybe just during the week you're trying to get some time, just some downtime. What do you do for fun?
Yeah, so I'm a sports nut. Unfortunately, I'm a Mets fan, I'm a Jets fan, I'm a Knicks fan. And so we are, I'm acquainted with grief and sorrow. And so, you know, I watch a lot of games, and I love to play as well. And so on my Sabbath, typically when it's nice outside, I go to the park, play pickup basketball almost every Saturday.
Right.
And, you know, hang out with my wife and our daughter, Karis. And so, and, you know, and growing up, I hated to read, and, you know, I became a Christian all of a sudden. I have an insatiable desire to read. And so reading is a big fun thing for me as well. So,
nice. Yeah. Well, Rich, I really appreciate you being on the show today. Thank you so much for taking time out to spend some time with us. If people want to get in touch with you or with your church, how can they do that?
Yeah, you can on Twitter. It's just at Rich Vilodas, V-I-L-L-O-D-A-S. Our website is newlifefellowship.org. And if you want to learn more about what we do in terms of Rule of Life in particular, we host a conference in May called Emotionally Healthy Leadership. And so if you go to emotionallyhealthy.org, a lot of leaders have really benefited from a contemplative spirituality, emotional health, as well as what a rule of life would mean. And so that's coming up in May. It's limited to 300 people. But those are some of the ways that you can get in contact with me.
Oh, fantastic. Thanks so much for being on the show, Rich.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks.
Take care.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Don't be shy. We'd love to connect. Check out Unseminary Inbox. You can sign up at unseminary.com and we'll send you helpful training resources every week. Plus, you'll gain immediate access to our exclusive members area with tons of resources you can use. Connect with Rich on Twitter at Rich Birch or through email, rich@unseminary.com. Don't forget to check out the show notes for this episode at unseminary.com. It includes links to what we talked about today and more. Leave a comment. We'd love to hear from you. Did you enjoy today's episode? Drop by iTunes and leave a review. Thanks again for tuning in to this week's Unseminary podcast. Join us next week when we'll learn more stuff we wish they taught in seminary.